Regardless of your ethnicity, have you ever had questions, even concerns about this story that God cursed the black race way back when? I have some good news for you. It's not true. Let me give you the lowdown on that again. You know, we've been having a lot of problems all around the world, but even more specifically in America the Beautiful lately. Of course, we know we've been having problems, ongoing problems, forever and a day, since the beginning of the time that the land began to be called America. And we've been hearing about, seeing, reading about more problems that are being broadcast as we have people, some of the citizens of America, just making life miserable for other citizens of America. Particularly as we see so many killings perpetrated against the black race by black people and by white people, particularly white law enforcement officers, and partly because of the way some prosecutors in the nation are handling the cases. Juries deciding that there's no need to indict, even when it is obvious that injustice has been part of the equation. It could be so easy to even subconsciously conclude that there is something wrong with the black race to have all of these terrible things happening to us. I thought I would revisit, as a result, a conversation that I had some time ago where I showed from Scripture that the black race is not cursed. I know that there would be quite a few people in America who would love to jump on the bandwagon of people who sang that tune for many, many decades, that the black race has been cursed, and try to use that line as a reason to justify or to at least dismiss what is happening to the black community now. I want to share this with you again. The truth that the black race is not cursed, at least no more than any other race. Welcome to another hour of Speaking With, and it's good to have you with us. And, you know, I really do like the whole idea of helping to take on the role of encouraging us all to celebrate diversity, to truly celebrate it. And when I say that, I really mean it. Diversity is something that I have really had an affinity for all of my life. And as I've mentioned, and I'm pretty sure some of you recall having heard me share this story with you, when I talk about diversity, I don't mean just racial diversity either. The whole idea of helping men and women come together, different age groups see each other as potential allies instead of eyeing each other as enemies, adversaries. Diversity is something that has been a very, very major part of my life, all of my life, the love for it. And I appreciate having the opportunity to encourage more people to truly, again, celebrate diversity and move towards harmony. And that's what this hour is going to be about. I'm going to help us take a look at some things that can help us as a human race begin to have an even greater appreciation for the various cultural races that we have around the world, and begin to see each other more in a light of people who, again, are potential allies, people who can develop, forge very, very positive relationships, and stop seeing each other as potential adversaries. You know, one of the things that helps us do that is become more familiar with each other. But in the process of becoming more familiar with each other, one of the things that helps us forge better relationships is coming to the point where we realize that we have a lot in common. One of the things that we have in common that has gone overlooked for many years, largely because of misinformation, is the fact that people of various races have played significant roles when it comes to the events that are listed in the Bible. You know, we just based on what we see on TV the vast majority of the time, and the way pictures are drawn and supplements to the Bible, etc., you would think that the only race that has really had a significant role in the Bible is the white race. And fortunately, that's not the case. Fortunately, the white race has been accompanied by several other races who have also played significant roles in the Bible. And I plan to cover that in more detail as the weeks and months go by. For example, I definitely plan to have a discussion about the role, for example, that Hispanics have played in the Bible. We'll look at the roles that various races have played in the Bible. And today, I'm going to focus on the black race, since we're still in the month of February, and February is Black History Month. And so I want to go ahead and, again, start there. And what I want to do is start, first of all, with this whole notion of the curse, because I know that one of the big problems that we have when it comes to having an appreciation, developing an appreciation for the role that the black race has played in the Bible has to do with this whole notion of the black race being cursed by God. And of course, you know, if you are a person of another race who is convinced that the Bible has the most interesting history of any text known to man, and you look at that history and you say, wait a minute, the most significant history given of man is in the Bible, and that particular history says that the black race was cursed. Well, goodness, why should I care anything about a race that's cursed? And here's the thing. If people think that an entire race has been cursed by God, not only people outside of that race may find it difficult to truly value that race, but there may be people within the race who may find it difficult to value that race the same as we value members of other races. And so it's very important to take a look at that and, again, search for truth and find out, did God indeed curse the black race, as a lot of people have claimed over the decades? And so the best way I know to find the answer to that is to go to the Bible itself and see what God had to say about this curse that people refer to. And of course, when people say God cursed the black race, they turn to the book of Genesis, the first book that is listed in the Bible. And they say, well, you just read it in Genesis and you'll see where God cursed the black race. All right, so you read in the book of Genesis, and what we'll do, first of all, is find out, again, what God had to say about this racial curse, this curse of the races. And what we're going to do is read and see if we can find where God cursed the race. Of course, the people who say that God cursed the race also refer to Noah. And they say, well, after the flood, one of Noah's sons looked on him while he was naked. And when he did that, God cursed him. that particular son was black. And when God cursed him for looking on his naked father, Noah, he cursed that whole race. All right, so what we'll do, that helps us narrow it down very, very well. We know that we're looking in the book of Genesis, where we have the most mentions of Noah. We know that we're looking for the part of the book of Genesis that mentions Noah, that also talks about the flood, because they say after the flood, Noah was found naked, and his son, who found him that way, picked on him, mocked him, and God cursed him. So we know to look for that portion of Genesis to see if indeed we can find where the scriptures say God cursed the black race because Noah's son found him naked. So let's start in chapter 9. Then God blessed Noah and his sons. We're in the 9th chapter of Genesis, and right now we're finding evidence that completely refutes, so far, what people have said about God cursing Noah's son. Right here, the first verse we read reads, "Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything.'" By the way, I am reading again from the New International Version. "But you must not eat meat that has its life blood still in it. And for your life blood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, 'I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you.'" And here's the covenant. "Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, 'This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you.'" Right now, we see God making a covenant with Noah and his sons. And notice it does not say two of his sons. It doesn't say he's making the covenant with one of his sons. It says with his sons with him. So in the first verse of chapter 9, we read, "Then God blessed," not cursed, but blessed Noah and his sons. Now we're reading about a covenant that God made with Noah and his sons. "Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth." Now, verse 18 reads, "The sons of Noah, who came out of the ark." And now they're getting ready to identify for us who the sons were whom God was just addressing as he addressed Noah. "The sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth." Now, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. As time went on, people came to be scattered upon the earth. Because think about it now. After the flood, there were only a few people on the earth. Noah and his sons, Noah's wife and his sons' wives. And the Bible tells us very clearly, these were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Now, so far, have we heard anything about God cursing the black race? And clearly, the answer so far is no. Let's read verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he drank some of his wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. The lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." So here we are. We're in the context now where the flood has subsided. God has brought Noah and all of his family and all the creatures with them out of the ark. God blessed Noah and his sons. He made a covenant with them, told them what the sign of the covenant would be. And then we were told specifically who Noah's sons were. Noah, a man of the ground, of the soil, planted his vineyard, drank, became drunk, and was spotted by his youngest son, who, instead of discreetly covering his father, went out and told, and we understand from commentaries, in a mocking sort of way, his brothers about their father's nakedness. Now, when Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, not he, God, but he, Noah, said, "Cursed be Canaan." More on that as soon as we get back, as we clearly see who did the cursing and whom was actually cursed. We'll be right back.